A few years ago, I was coming back on a flight from Kerry to Stansted, and in the seat in front of me was a mother and young son. I think he was about 10, and he was obviously suffering from some severe disability. He was very restless. He was finding it very hard to stay within the seatbelt. And I noticed that one of the hostesses, immediately we took off, came and spoke to the mother and seemed so full of attention. And every time she was free from other duties, she came and sat on the vacant seat beside them and talked with them. And snatches of what they were saying floated back to me. And I began to recognize that the mother was coming to London to a world-famous specialist who alone could help her son, she thought. And the air hostess was so obviously concerned that I whispered to one of the colleagues of hers, "Are you stewards and hostesses also trained as listeners?" She said, "No, Father, but that woman you saw talking to the woman with the young boy has a handicapped daughter herself, so she knows what she's going through." There are many ways of taking to heart that command of Jesus in the Gospel. Four times he says, or he uses the words, "Stay awake." We can't miss the message, stay awake. And usually it is applied, as we know, to the coming of the Lord at the time of death, or his second coming. But I'm sure it is not too difficult to apply it also to daily life. The invitation to see Jesus in his unexpected disguises, in his coming to us and our brothers and sisters, how much we need and can do to bring that part of the kingdom alive. "Whatever you do to the least of these my brothers or sisters, you did unto me." Stay awake. Stay awake, Jesus tells us, and stay alert to those around you who need an arm to steady themselves, who need an ear to listen to them. And we can do so much in the building of God's kingdom by lending an ear, lending an arm to those around us who are struggling. But the problem for most of us is that most of the people we meet who are struggling are hiding their struggles. I remember Bob Sharp, who used to be the collector of this mass. Whenever you said to him, "How are you, Bob?" he says, "Struggling." And struggling we all are, but most of us try to hide it. We don't want to ask for help. We're too shy to ask for it. The people we meet are too proud to ask for it sometimes because they don't want to reveal their weaknesses. Or they have been asking in the past for help and nobody has listened, and so they have despaired of ever getting the helping hand they need. I remember one couple I used to visit in Birmingham. Maria was suffering from arthritis, almost in a wheelchair most of the time. And her husband, Morris, was going blind slowly. And he said to me one day, he said, "Father, people don't want to know about your troubles. When you begin to talk about them, you can see the glazed look coming into their eyes." One of the saddest statements ever made to me. A great spiritual teacher of our time, of my lifetime anyway, says this: "There is not a person you meet any day, at work, on the street, in your home, whom you cannot help by showing them some real attention." And he writes this, and it's a very sobering thought: "I would say that priestly ministry in our time is not principally preaching, but listening. The church needs an army of listeners. So many people need to be listened to." And every one of us is invited by our baptism. We're called to that ministry of listening. And it's where the priesthood of the ordained ministry and the priesthood of all the baptized coincide. The writer that I'm quoting calls it soul healing. Soul healing. We don't often think of it as that, soul healing. But every time we lend a hand to another, every time we listen to another in trouble, we are involved in that business of soul healing. And his definition of soul healing at its best is this: it boils down to just one thing. Taking a person into the presence of Christ. Not by advising them, but by going with them as brother or sister. Following them step by step along the road. Praying behind them so that they will not slip back. An interesting definition of soul healing. So maybe this Advent we might take that advice of Jesus, stay awake, be alert, to keeping our eyes open, our ears ready for those around us who need to be listened to, who need to be helped, who need just an arm to steady themselves, no more. And we can be sure that he comes to us in many ways, especially in unexpected ways, in many disguises. And remembering too, as I said, that the heart of our Christian calling, our Christian way, is whatever you did to the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did it to me.